Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Doors open, Milwaukee. I cannot believe it's been a year since we talked about the first, which was last year. Well, it's going into its second year. I talked to so many people who participated in this last year and had a marvelous time. It's coming up this weekend, and what it does is opens the doors to all kinds of Milwaukee buildings, and it allows you to see spaces that have rarely been seen or places that maybe you have seen but you haven't thought about very much. There are some guided tours of parts of this city, more than 120 buildings in the downtown area and beyond, and more than 12 tours. So this hour of the program, we'll be talking with the very same two people who are alive and well, and we're all a little older, as we were talking about before the show. Are with us in our Milwaukee studios, George Wagner, program manager for Doors Open Milwaukee. And it's because of George, actually, who got this idea some time ago when he visited, I believe it was Toronto, wasn't it, that we ought to do it here. And so he made it happen. John Gerda, one of our favorite guests, historian and author of, well, he's written a lot of books, The Making of Milwaukee. John, thank you so much for being with us as well.
Good to be here, Kathleen.
Well, this was a rip-roaring success last year, wasn't it? You had all kinds of people attend.
We did. It was bigger than we anticipated. We counted about over 10,000 people who came, 42,000 individual site visits. And the overall impression that we got, we did a nice survey of people afterwards. They went online and told us what they thought about it. And we discovered that 92% of the people felt that the event met or exceeded their expectations. And it was really gratifying to hear from people who were Milwaukeeans as well as visitors the kind of the feeling of bon ami that invaded the town, and people smiling downtown. The mayor, who had a little press conference to introduce it at 9 o'clock, opened the doors at 9, and people just came pouring in by the hundreds to get their free in-depth tour tickets. And he was very surprised at the numbers of people. And I remember Mayor Barrett saying, you know, when I see this many people in City Hall, he says, they usually don't look this happy. They're here paying taxes.
And what was so much fun, I recall that Saturday afternoon, that nice autumn afternoon. And Saturdays tend to be kind of quiet in downtown Milwaukee. The streets were jumping. There was just a buzz. And I waited in line. I was the U.S. Bank Tower. No, I hadn't been up to the 40th floor there in a long time. And there were people out on the sidewalk, you know, waiting to get in.
Right.
So it was just, I think, a real testament to certainly Milwaukeeans and Wisconsinites and our visitors' interest in the city's built environment and also the power of a free event.
Yes, exactly.
Milwaukee prices.
Yep.
Go back to your visit to Toronto and your initial interest in this. Why did you think we ought to do this?
Well, I visited Toronto, and I've been there a few times, but about 6 or 7 years ago, I actually came upon a book that had been written by a mayor of Toronto, and it was called Doors Open Toronto. So I read up about it and thought, wow, this sounds like a neat event, you know. And then I wasn't able to go to the Toronto one that year, but the following year I went to one in Denver. At the time, there were only a few cities that had them. Toronto was the first in North America to start it in 2000, quickly followed by New York and Denver. And we were actually the fourth large city to have ours, and Chicago had their first one last year.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, but 3 weeks after ours.
Oh.
Now, in New York and Chicago, they call it Open House, so it's Open House New York and Open House Chicago. We decided to go with the term Doors Open because we thought it's not as confusing as the term open house, which sometimes can lead people to think that it's like a real estate event. So Denver and Toronto and Milwaukee call ours Doors Open. And we had a number of people from, you know, outside of the Milwaukee area come last year from the Chicagoland area as well as north and west of Milwaukee. As a matter of fact, I've met with someone from Madison who is trying to get a Doors Open Madison going there now.
Hmm. You mentioned the mayor opening the doors and being surprised. I was interested that tomorrow is his 100th birthday, Frank Zeidler's boyhood home is on the list this year. I didn't know where his boyhood home was.
That was a real treat. I saw that in the list, and I said, how did they get that?
Yes.
It's on the corner of 33rd and Clyburn.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually a board up. You know,
really?
The city had taken it, you know, for taxes some time ago. So when I would do bus tours, I'd go past there and point out that's the only house in Milwaukee that was the boyhood home of two Milwaukee mayors, you know, both Carl and Frank. And now, what, the city's taken it over and they're
right, the Neighborhood Development Corporation has fixed it up, mm-hmm. and it's going to be open for people to see. It's a nice arts and crafts home built in the early part of the 20th century, and Frank lived there from about the time he was 8 years old until he was an adult. So,
And recall that his education, a lot of it, he did not go to college, but the Clyburn branch of the public library, you know, was where he got his practical education. And where he began to study socialist authors. And that was kind of his political education as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's worth seeing, definitely. When you look at the list, both of you are well-versed in all of this. Are you astounded by the number of places that are really worth seeing having their doors open or not?
I think it's an event that people gravitate to because they are proud of showcasing and showing off the place that they own or work in. And so I'm not so surprised. Mm. You know, in future years, hopefully this will become an annual event. This is our second one in a row, and we hope to continue it again next year. And I think we'll probably expand it even more. This first year, we concentrated a little more on downtown because that's where the bulk of older historic buildings are. But we're interested in buildings of good architecture, even if they're recent ones. And a lot of some of the buildings that we have on this year are basically rejuvenated buildings that have been put to a new purpose. So, and we've expanded the geography of this year's event to include some places that are a little more outliers, like St. Josephite's Basilica or the Rockwell Automation Allen Bradley Clock Tower. But we have some other interesting ones that, you know, we have like the Milwaukee Police Department 911 Center, which is out on 49th and North Avenue. Wisconsin Black Historical Museum on 27th and Center. There's a place that I didn't know existed until a few months ago. It's called the Milwaukee Fire Museum. And this is in an old fire station on 17th and Oklahoma. That is basically run by retired firemen volunteers.
Rarely open.
Oh, how okay. Nice.
But I'm astounded, Kathleen, at the kind of the range and the diversity of the offerings that are in such a compact area. And last year, as George said, it was largely a downtown event, and now the borders have expanded. And I looked at the list, and I said, boy, last year was kind of a salad bar, and George bought the whole restaurant this year.
Oh, that George. He's a go-getter. Tell me about, because I had no idea that the Third Ward was an Irish community that burned down in 1890-something.
92.
Yeah. How did that area happen to develop as being the spot, you know, all the fancy kinds of shops and the restaurants, et cetera? It's the go-to place for many in Milwaukee now.
The chapters, Kathleen, are really clear. Early on, it was a swamp, and then it was filled in by Irish labor, and it became an Irish neighborhood in the mid-1800s. Not the place you would have brought your out-of-town guests. It was called the Bloody Third. Had the highest proportion of what they called thirst emporiums or rum holes, you know, in Milwaukee. And then the 1892 fire did not dislocate them because they were on the way out already. You know, they were moving west to places like Merrill Park, up north up to the east side. Holy Rosary is an Irish congregation. And then it became kind of it was quiet for a while. Then it became the Sicilian neighborhood. And still, I mean, the ICC, the Community Center, is down there because that's a homecoming. You know, with proceeds from Festa, they have put up that magnificent center of community down there in the Third Ward. But the urban renewal of the 1950s really kind of obliterated a lot of the old built environment. And then nobody lived down there. The 70s, it was pretty much given up for dead. But then you have kind of taste change nationally and locally. People like exposed brick and the heavy wooden beams, and where is there a greater abundance of those than in the Third Ward? So it's become, in the last quarter century especially, it's become just a real hotbed of activity.
It sure has. It's just unbelievable how much growth there is. When you compare Milwaukee to other cities, do we have just a wealth of historic buildings? Have we preserved them, or have we destroyed them as many others cities have?
We have a nice collection of old historic buildings in Milwaukee. Some of that is by default. Milwaukee, in some respects, is sometimes behind the national curve of things. And so some of the buildings that remain may well remain because by the time somebody thought about maybe tearing it down with a wrecking ball, the historic preservation movement had taken off with enough steam to help stop that. That's one of the reasons, I think. After the end of World War II, a lot of people thought that the downtown was kind of dowdy, you know, and it didn't look very new. It was hadn't had any new buildings put up since the 30s. And actually, the first new building in Milwaukee that was of the newer style was the old Marine Bank, which is now Chase Bank on the corner of Water in Wisconsin. And that went up in 1960. So there was a time lag there of about 30 years when very little was built downtown. And then, of course, as commerce, especially shopping, moved to the outer suburbs, we lost a lot of interest in downtown for a long time. But then, as John was saying, you know, with this renewed interest of being people being close to interesting events and restaurants and sporting activities and things like that that happened downtown, theater, concerts, there's been a great renewal of a lot of these old buildings that have been turned into condominiums and apartments.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about some of your favorites that fit into the category of historic that you just, when every time you go to one, you think about what happened there 100 years ago or more.
Boy, two of my favorites on this tour, Kathleen, are the Basilica, clearly, St. Josephat's, which mm-hmm. I think is one of the most iconic buildings in Milwaukee. And you can see it from your studio here. Built by Polish immigrants, you know, back in 1901 with materials salvaged from the Chicago.
I'm sorry. There it is. I'm looking at it.
There it
yeah.
is. You can also see St. Stan's. Kind of, you look at the lineup of the Polish monuments here. But it was built with material salvaged from the Chicago Post Office, which makes it the first
really?
Probably green building in Milwaukee. And just a testament to the power of faith in all of Milwaukee's immigrant communities. But that's really a standout. And then on a smaller scale, the St. Joseph's Convent Chapel, which is part of the School Sisters of St. Francis Mother House over there on Layton Boulevard in Greenfield, is in my opinion, probably the most painstakingly detailed worship space in Milwaukee. It's just an amazing liturgical space. Great for concerts, but it'll be open for doors open mm-hmm. as well.
And we'll, go ahead.
And both of those, you think about the generations of sisters, you know, who have kind of hallowed St. Joseph's Convent, and the tens of thousands of parishioners, you know, who have made their spiritual home at the Basilica.
There's a lot of interest in church architecture, and I think that this year we have a really nice lineup. We have about 15 churches, and some of them would range from St. John's Cathedral to Emmanuel Presbyterian. St. Paul's Episcopal Church, which was closed last year due to renovations, is open. They have the largest collection of Tiffany stained glass in Wisconsin.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And some other beautiful old German Lutheran churches are going to be joining us this year, St. James Evangelical Lutheran Church and Trinity on 9th Street, around 9th and State is going to be open, as well as some other ones, Grace Evangelical Lutheran, a number of other Catholic Presbyterian churches. So some really excellent architecture, much of it from the 19th century, is going to be open to people.
Mm. And there are a lot of church towers, but there are some non-church towers that are new to the tour this year. One is the North Point Water Tower, you know, which is the iconic symbol of Milwaukee's east side.
Right.
And the stairs, I've been inside there, the spiral staircase, I guess, there's some concern about it detaching.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
But you can get inside, and that's a very rare ticket.
Yeah, we did want to be able to go up to the top, but the city water department decided that was probably not going to happen because of the safety concerns.
Oh.
So that people can get inside and see this 135-foot standpipe.
Another tower that you cannot ever get into, but you can on doors open, is the Ellen Bradley Clock Tower, mm-hmm. Rockwell Automation, mm-hmm. which has just a spectacular view of the city looking north and
What's
in all directions.
What's the story on that tower? Did people put the four-sided clock, knowing that it was going to be this really big deal in the Western Hemisphere?
It was designed by Fitzhugh Scott Sr., and this goes back to 1964 when, under a guy named Fred Look, Allen Bradley was just expanding like crazy. And especially Harry Bradley, there were two brothers who ran that company, it was Lyon and Harry Bradley. Lyon died in 42, and Harry, you know, remained the person who was in charge. And he saw that quite consciously as the village clock for the neighborhood of workers, many of whom walk to work at Allen Bradley.
Oh.
So it has that role.
Huh. Let's welcome phone calls. Here is our phone number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Doors open, Milwaukee. It's here again this year already. It's this weekend. All kinds of buildings that are not normally open for you to see, you will be able to see. It's all free. We'll give you details on where you need to go to get your passes. And there are some guided tours which are worth your while as well. It was very successful last year. If you have questions about what may be on the list this year, feel free to call. And if you want to talk about historic buildings in the Milwaukee area, feel free to do that as well. So there are a lot of ways to get a hold of us. You can call at 800-486-8655. You can go to talk at WPR.org. You can go to our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, or you can also, I've really lately gotten into tweets. You can tweet to at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll go to phone calls. Our guest this hour, George Wagner, Program Manager for Doors Open Milwaukee. John Gerda, historian, Milwaukee historian, and author of The Making of Milwaukee. He's written a number of other books as well. Here's our phone number again for Doors Open Milwaukee, 800-486-8655. George, I mentioned tours. There are some in-depth tours. Mm-hmm. The others are self-guided tours.
Sure. It's a little confusing. Let me try to explain. We have about 125 buildings that are open that people can come to on their own. They don't have to start at any one particular place. There's no passport or ticket or anything else that they need. They can just take a look at our website, or if they have an event guide that they can grab at any of the buildings that they come to, as well as if they kept their guide from last Sunday's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel where it appeared, they can use that to discover Milwaukee on their own and their own itinerary. That is separate from what we call our in-depth tours. Now, I should mention before I even get into that, that many of these 125 buildings that people could just walk into without any preparation going anywhere beforehand will be giving guided tours throughout their buildings. So oftentimes these tours are not as long, maybe 20 minutes, something like that. So those, again, open to anybody at any time. They can go to any of these at all. The other ones we call in-depth tours. Now, these are ticketed, but they're still free. And we distribute them at City Hall on the days of the tours. So Saturday tour, you have to get down to City Hall. We start giving them out at 9 o'clock in the morning. And they go pretty fast. We had giant lines last year. It'll probably be like that again this year. I also just wanted to mention that this whole event is being sponsored by Historic Milwaukee Incorporated, which is the leading nonprofit in Milwaukee dealing with issues of historic preservation. So Historic Milwaukee is really the organization that's behind this whole event.
Mm-hmm. Great organization.
Whoops, I didn't hear you.
Great organization.
Okay. Yeah, it is a great organization. And this is a great event. Let's say that. It's true. Nancy is our first caller from Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy.
Hello. I'm very excited about the fact that the Orlandini Plasterworks is going to be open for viewing. I live on Roosevelt Drive, and my house has yards and yards and yards of this wonderful plaster cornice that runs along between the ceiling and the walls. And I have always wondered how this was made. I didn't know whether it was made outside my house and transported here. The house was built in 1942, I think. So I would encourage anybody who lives in the Roosevelt area, because 9 out of 10 people, 9 out of 10 of these houses have this decorative molding, and it's just exquisite to look at. So I'm encouraging people to go there. That may be the one and only place I have the energy to get to, but I am definitely seeing that.
And where is it in your house? Is it in all the rooms?
It's between the walls and ceiling in the living room. This is a duplex, so it's in the upstairs dining room and upstairs living room and both the hallways. It's really quite a... And one of the bedrooms. It's everywhere. And it's one of the reasons I bought this house, actually, because I like that decorative kind of appeal.
Mm-hmm. George?
Yeah, this is going to be a nice site this year. Eugene Orlandini, who runs the studios, it's over on 6th and Virginia, is opening it for both days, and we've actually designated it as a passport site. And a passport site means that we've chosen 24 sites of the 125 buildings that we think are especially of interest, or special interest to families with children. And at Orlandini, he will give the kids something special or something special to do. So it's a nice site, and along with these other 23 passport sites, is a good way to get kids interested in history and architecture. Hmm.
And that's what, a third, fourth generation business?
Yes. Yeah, it started in 1936.
Wonderful. Oh, thank you, Nancy. She must be excited about it. She bought her house because of this. That's something.
She can go back to the source.
Right. Thanks very much for the call. Did you have a hard time persuading people to open their doors, or are they excited to have people look at what they do?
It varies to some extent. The first year was probably a little bit harder. People are curious. What's this new event? You know, a lot of times, some buildings that we wanted to have on the tour, again this year, have not been able to join us for different reasons. A lot of times it's cost.
Mm-hmm.
One of the buildings that is going to be on this year that was not last year, although it's going to be a ticketed tour for one of these in-depth tours, is the Federal Courthouse downtown, which has an absolutely fabulous atrium on the inside, and they're going to be giving people guided tours through there, through the ceremonial courtrooms where folks that are applying for citizenship can, you know, swear themselves in to become citizens. It's going to be a wonderful site for people who might have grown up in Milwaukee and remember it as the old post office, which I do. you wouldn't believe what they've done to the interior of it. It's just an absolutely stunning 7-story atrium, just filled with light.
And oh,
absolutely
nice.
Beautiful.
Nice. When was it built, John? What's the history of that building?
Built in stages, built a number of years in the 1890s.
Really?
And it was, it's Richard Sonian, kind of the central tower. But the story is that the feds would appropriate only a certain amount of money every year. So they'd do a piece of it, quit. Next year, do a piece of it, quit. Next year, come back. So it took them a number of years to finish it. But it's a great building, and that central, the skylit central concourse there. There was a false ceiling in there, and there were offices in there, you know, which was just a travesty, you know, based on what they did to an 1890s building, and they really brought it back. Great building.
Let's go to Catherine in Madison. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I haven't heard the whole program, but I wondered, are you publishing a booklet of all the places, or do you have to bring your laptop along to get all the details?
Well, at each of these sites, we will have event guides that you can just pick up, and it gives you enough details to be able to maneuver around. We also have a nice map showing the different sites and when they're open. So you can go that route. You can also, of course, bring your laptop and get on our website to see. But we will have event guides there as well.
Okay, that's good. And the other question I had, has anyone ever done any research about the Matthews Company in Milwaukee and the woodwork? They did woodwork. And my great-grandfather came from Germany in 1880 to work for that company. And I'm curious if anyone has ever done anything about where their woodwork might be installed.
I'm sure someone has, but we don't know who that is.
Okay.
it's amazing. I worked at the Central Library in Milwaukee for many years in the Humanities Department, where we dealt with local history. And it's so surprising to find some of these businesses that were around for decades, and there is literally the only thing you can find is a mention of them in city directories that they existed and maybe who the principal officers were. And beyond that, there's nothing left, unfortunately.
But sometimes you can find things. There are these commercial directories that would have these kind of blurbs. They were paid advertisements, but they would talk about, you know, who was in charge and what they did. And they were often, you know, fairly high praise, as you might expect.
Okay.
The whole event, I think there's a 6-page guide that appeared in the Journal Sentinel's insert this last Sunday. And even though things kick off at 9, the whole event is from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And you're entirely free to roam at your will. And I think if you were Lance Armstrong or Dale Earnhardt, you could not hit all of these sites in the 2 days.
No, and we're coming from Madison and only have a day, so it sounds excellent, though.
Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Matthew sends an email. The two most amazing spaces I've ever toured are difficult to tour. Can the Milwaukee Waterworks north of Bradford Beach and the Allen Bradley Boardroom make it on the list someday?
Well, I think that the space that people actually will see, there are some board activities that take place up on the top of the Allen Bradley Clock Tower.
The tower is more impressive than the boardroom.
Okay.
Really?
Absolutely, yeah.
And we have tried to get into the Linwood Water Filtration Plant, which is the building that the person who sent the email was talking about, which is right on along Lincoln Memorial Drive in Milwaukee before the road turns up north towards UWM. And unfortunately, due to security concerns, we're not able to see that building. But it's apparently got some excellent WPA murals on the inside.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a 1938 building. On the other end, however, Jones Island is open.
Thank you.
That was a big hit last year, I understand.
It was a huge hit.
People like to see where their stuff goes.
Water in, waste out. I went down there toward the end of Saturday, and I couldn't get in.
No, really?
They had scheduled, I think, another extra tour or two, uh-huh. and they were the waiting list was, what, 4 pages long.
Oh, my gosh.
This year they're doing it as an in-depth tour, so people will need pre-tickets for those. For those tours at Jones Island.
And they were also giving out bags, little bags of Milorganite, so I think that was
it's always something free always gets
people. Talk about free beer, George?
Oh, there is going to be free beer at the Milwaukee Brewing Company. Yes, some samples are going to be free. This is a new, relatively new brewery over on 2nd and Bruce Street, and they actually run the Milwaukee Ale House on Water Street, mm-hmm. and they're going to be giving out some free samples.
Wouldn't
be a tour.
You're gonna have a line there.
Free beer.
Right. Michelle, this is on those lines too. Jody sent a tweet. How long a time were the in-depth tour ticket distribution lines last year? Any tips for people participating for the first time?
Unfortunately, that is a problem, and especially for people that are coming from out of town to get a hold of some of these tickets. Again, we only give the tickets out on the days of those particular tours. So Saturday tours are only given out on Saturday, Sunday tours only on Sunday.
In person only, correct?
In person only, right. Well, actually, we have a little incentive this year, and that is for people who are Historic Milwaukee Incorporated members, they can get first dibs on some of these tours. There's a new place called Urban Milwaukee, The Store. It's in the Colby Abbott building over on the corner of Milwaukee and Mason. And by showing them a card or by signing up to become a member there, they can actually score up to four free guided tour tickets.
Oh.
So otherwise, you have to take your chances on the crowds, and the crowds probably will be they'll be lining up quite early. We start distributing them at 9 o'clock each morning.
So good to join anyway, and that's an added incentive.
Absolutely.
Jan in Appleton. Hi, Jan.
I have the description here of the federal courthouse, and I'm not sure from what it says. It says exterior tour only every half hour. That's if you're unticketed.
Right.
If you're unticketed, you can't get in to see the interior?
That is correct.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, unfortunately. I'm sorry. It's just this was a decision that we made and had some angst in deciding how you distribute tickets. We're kind of following Denver's example on this. This is kind of the way they've been doing it for the last 8 years. Now, some places like New York actually make them available online. The problem with that, however, is that some of these tickets, we have a capacity of a certain number of people that can take the tour. And what New York has found and others who have just done it online is these are free tickets.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes, sure.
In that description, it says during a 30-minute tour of two sides of the building, you will discover, lines. Okay, is that two sides of the outside of the building or two sides of the inside of the building?
Two sides of the outside.
Oh, so you can see all that, those kinds of things from the outside.
Correct. Yes.
Unlike many of the buildings and doors open, you can go to the federal building during the week.
Yes, you can.
You can get in there.
Just bring your ID.
Bring your ID and don't have a little penknife with your keys. You have to clear security.
Thanks, Jan.
Thanks.
Yeah, have a good time. I want to talk about museums. John, what are some little-known, and I know there are some little-known, I had no idea some of these museums were even in existence.
One I had not seen was the Chudnow Museum of Yesteryear.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Just opened. Yeah.
Oh, it's brand new.
Yeah. What's in there, George?
I haven't been in it myself, okay. But I've talked to people who have seen it, and they said it's really great. It has a very eclectic collection of lots of Milwaukee memorabilia.
Oh. Huh.
So it's right basically on the Marquette campus, and it's right on, I believe, 11th Street, like 11th and Wells. And so I think that's going to be one of the more interesting museums. You know, a lot of these museums that are smaller find an interest in getting involved in Doors Open because it lets the people know that they exist, that they're around, and a lot of times people are unaware. They only know the big names, you know. And so this year, for instance, we have smaller museums like the Jewish Museum of Milwaukee, which is going to be open, the Fire Museum that I mentioned earlier, the Chudnow Museum, Wisconsin Black Historical Museum.
The Hagerty,
right.
Marquette's campus.
Right on Marquette's campus. I mean, we have some of the big ones open as well. Some of the larger ones that charge a fair amount of money for admission are not open in general to the general public during Doors Open, but they've done something special for us. For instance, Milwaukee Public Museum has several free planetarium shows for Doors Open.
Oh, folks. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Or the Milwaukee Art Museum offers free guided tours throughout the Calatrava edition. So we are appreciative to all the museums that are participating with us, and I think that it's going to be a nice opportunity, especially for some of the smaller ones, to showcase what they have.
By all means. Here's an email from Sarah. Will the president coming to Milwaukee this Saturday present any challenges?
Ah, that's interesting you mentioned that. Actually, Milwaukee Theater, which was one of our sites that was going to be open on Saturday and Sunday, I believe that's where the president is going to be speaking. They called us up last week and said, well, we can't do it now. And we didn't know why. And then we later found out, I guess, that it's because the president is going to be there.
Can you get tickets?
right.
I think it's a fundraiser, but on the lower end of the fundraisers. But at any rate, but we are going to have our own celebrity at Doors Open, which we just found out a few days ago. It's kind of funny. Penny Marshall.
Oh, Penny
Laverne
Marshall.
And Shirley.
Laverne herself.
We just received her book.
And she's going to be signing books at City Hall on Saturday afternoon around 4. So. There's also another celebration I should mention. It's going to be the formal opening of the Wisconsin and New Bridge. And this is the one that separates Juneautown from Kilburn Town. And do you know how many bridges have been built there over the years, Jim?
Oh, boy. It's got to be a dozen.
Really? At any rate, it's a very busy area, but there's going to be a celebration there, and there's a coupon in our guide that you can get a free beer if you go to the Wisconsin Bridge Celebration on Saturday. So that might be kind of fun. So they're going to do some kind of a reenactment of the city coming together, because there was something that was called a bridge war. You want to just
let's hear about that.
So they're not going to reenact that, are they?
Not going to have the cannon out.
good. That was actually up on Juneau Avenue.
Yeah.
Back in 1834. What was the bridge war, George?
45.
Yeah. 45 was when the war was. 46 was when the city incorporated. Yeah. But it was the two sides not getting along especially well, and the Kilburn on the west side wanted to essentially isolate the east side from the rest of the world. So he fought bridges, claiming a provision under the Northwest Ordinance prevented navigable streams from being obstructed by bridges, among other things. So it was a pretty open and shut case of trying to deny his rivals access to the resources of the West. And the Westsiders, they were successful for a time, 1840. The East Side succeeded in having one bridge built across at what was then Chestnut Street, now Juneau Avenue, and built a couple more downstream by private subscription. And as I said, the Westsiders suffered in silence, for a while. 1845, they tore it down. They tore down the Juneau Avenue, the Chestnut Street Bridge, and that precipitated the Great Bridge War of 1845.
Kilburn was so resourceful that I believe that he hired Increase Lapham, who is this Easterner who moved to Milwaukee and sort of known as like a Renaissance man scientist. But he hired Lapham to create a map of Milwaukee. And although there were buildings in Junotown already and some streets laid out. When Lapham made the map out, it looked like it was bare land, like there was nothing there.
And every lot for sale on the west side of the river. Numbered.
That's a great
numbered
story.
Numbered and outlined.
Let's see. Maybe you should next year have historical reenactors, not the Bridge War necessarily, but people dressed as Lapham or...
Well, I'll tell you one thing that we are going to do. It's not going to be for Doors Open, but it's going to be coming up very soon in October, and that is we're going to have a recreation of the attempted assassination of Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, Historic Milwaukee is going to be, doing that.
Yeah.
Yes, and some of it's actually going to take place because Roosevelt, this was 1912, so it's the 100th anniversary.
Oh.
And so he actually, after he was shot, he actually took a bullet in his chest, although it was slowed down by his, you know, his folded over many, many page 50 speech.
50-page
speech. Yep. And went over to what is still the current building right there in Milwaukee Theater, used to be called the auditorium, and proceeded to give this long speech before he went to the hospital. So that's going to be reenacted in October.
And there's a little marker. We went over to find the marker. There's a little marker, but it's not very prominently displayed. Do you think it would be outside the building so people could...
Yeah, it's just inside the eastern door of the Hyatt,
right?
And that had it stood on the Gilpatrick, which they tore down. You know, yeah. The Hyatt stands on that site.
All right. Oh, we have to pause for a moment, and we'll return and take more phone calls. Here's our phone number for you to join the conversation, or there are a lot of other ways to reach us. We're talking about Doors Open Milwaukee. It's the second annual presented by Historic Milwaukee. George Wagner, who's program manager for Doors Open, longtime librarian at Milwaukee's beautiful library downtown, is with us, as is John Gerda, who knows everything about the history of this fine city, historian and author of The Making of Milwaukee. So if you participate, it'll be fun to hear from some people who participated last year as well. There are people who come from all over the state. It was a hugely successful event, and I'm sure it will be again this year. Over 125 places will be open. There will be some guided tours. Is there a website people can go to just to make sure that they get the ticket thing figured
out?
Sure,
yes. If they just go to doorsopenmilwaukee.org. They'll get all the information they need.
Okay. Here's our phone number again, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, or you can also go to the Kay Dunn Show on Twitter. We're getting so many places to communicate, it takes half the show. Or the Kathleen Dunn Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow during this time period, Jonathan Kozel will be joining us. He's written a heartbreaker of a book. It's Fire in the Ashes, 25 Years Among the Poorest Children in America. He follows the fortunes of people he met many, many years ago in a squalid Manhattan welfare hotel and in the South Bronx's Mott Haven ghetto. And the stories, actually, some of them are good. Some of them are hopeful, and some are tragic. So that's tomorrow. Back to phone calls, 800-486-8655. The second annual Doors Open Milwaukee is this weekend in the city of Milwaukee, and we're learning about it this hour. Ken in Milwaukee is our next caller. Hi, Ken.
Good morning.
Hi.
Because the city hall has multiple entrances and knowing the line is going to be forming early, so one gets the first advantage possible, which entrance to city hall is open to acquire tickets?
Well, for the public, you'll have to come in through the main entrance on Wells Street.
And then when it comes to the urban Milwaukee location, is that a storefront or is that a commercial building where you got to go in and go up to the second floor?
Nope, it's right on the ground level.
It's right on the ground level, and it's $15 to join Historic Milwaukee?
I believe it's $35.
$35 to join, and that's individual versus family membership and stuff like that?
Sorry, I don't have that information handy.
The website will.
Yeah, the website. If you go to Historic Milwaukee website, you'll find it all there.
And I got to admit, I enjoyed myself immensely last year, and too bad it rained on that one afternoon because it kind of made you a little building locked, so to speak. But it was something where I enjoyed myself immensely, and I'm looking forward to this weekend also.
Terrific.
So some of those tours were more in-depth than others when it rained.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah, tours of the people who were on the tour with you. What's the history of City Hall, John?
City Hall goes back to 1895. And it described it as kind of a bow to the deep Germanism of Milwaukee. The style is Flemish Renaissance, but it's Germanic. You know, it looks like a kind of an oversized rathouse that you might see in a, you know, a mid-sized German city. So it really has that Germanic feel. Certainly, I think Philadelphia City Hall probably gets more press, but it's one of the finest city halls in the entire country.
Really?
Yep. Hmm. And on a very difficult site
that sort of
shoehorned there, and it was a very wet site, so that building rests on a forest of pilings.
Really?
They put it up back in 1895. And it was
swampy there, too?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. And at the time they built it, it was among the tallest buildings in the country. And
really?
And one of the largest masonry structures in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pile of bricks.
I think it was the third tallest when it was built, 1895. Washington Monument and the Philadelphia City Hall were taller.
Mm-hmm. My. It must have been hard to build things on swamps.
It was, but that's why they put the pilings in. They kind of drove them down to something that would hold. But there's been endless lawsuits about the deep tunnel, especially dewatering some of those sites and exposing the wooden beams to air, which means they begin to deteriorate. So you got to keep them wet. Northwestern Mutual, also on the tour, their first home office, or their present home office, 1914 building there, 720 East Wisconsin, that also rests on a forest of piles, and they have a system that keeps that foundation wet all the time.
Really?
Yep.
Fascinating. 800-486-8655, Paul in Milwaukee. Hi.
Good morning. Good morning, Kathleen and George and John. It's so exciting to be seeing this Doors Open and Historic Milwaukee really work with the fabric of the city. And you think it's about the past, but in fact, just like those pilings on the building, it's where the future stands. And at Discovery World, we have worked with high school teenagers to develop a program dealing with that'll be featured in the Doors Open program. That is really a museum outdoors called the Milwaukee Observatory, and that's both at the Beulah Britton Historical Center in Bayview, as well as next to Bradley Tech High School. And this is an installation that really features how the city looked in 1888 and has a recreation of Solomon Juno's cabin. But the cabin has actually exploded in terms of with pictures of immigrants and the students themselves. John Goethe has created a walking tour that you can download online and actually walk in the neighborhood of Bayview and of Walker's Point.
It's a great program and wonderful graphics, both in Bayview and at Bradley Tech.
Hmm.
Just outstanding design. Hmm. And the kids had a great time.
Hmm.
And that teenagers really can do amazing things, and that they're really building the future based on the past. So thank you for letting me put that plug in.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you,
John and George, for what you
Thank
doing.
You.
Yeah, thanks.
I might just mention that in terms of the future, like I'd said before, we're not only interested in the most historical buildings, but we're also looking at some of the newest ones. For instance, the new Marquette University Engineering Hall, which just opened, and is dedicated to making sure that future engineers have a good sense of what creates good, sustainable spaces. Another one in that same vein is the new Clock Shadow Building, which is not quite in the shadow of the Allen Bradley Clock Tower, but on that side of town. And this is a great building with a green roof that is going to be open. And when you walk through the corridors, it's just so neat to see flooring, doors, windows, all recycled from other buildings and put together in a harmonious whole.
What's the name of the building?
Clock Shadow.
Plus, it's a cheese factory.
That's right.
Oh, what
it's an urban cheese factory and ice cream. Purple Door ice cream.
Oh, my gosh, and ice cream.
And it's only a block or two from Milwaukee Brewery. It's like a Wisconsin trifecta.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. That'd be a very interesting building to see.
And aside from buildings, and this is new this year, you can both bike the Hank Aaron Trail and take a boat tour on the Milwaukee River.
So, that's right.
So it's mobile. It's not simply looking at buildings.
Yeah. There seems to be some concern about this presidential visit, so let me ask another question. David wants to know, will traffic be majorly impaired during the visit, and do we know what time that visit is?
I think it's going to be in the afternoon, but the details are not solid yet. At least I don't know what they are. I don't think it's going to be a big problem. I mean, people who are coming down for doors open, we do have options. If you look on our website or in our event guide about where they can park for free,
we have
a number of different sites, for instance, on the Marquette campus, MSOE campus, Northwestern, U.S. Bank, MGIC all have free parking for people inside. Plus, the parking on Saturday is free in downtown Milwaukee east of the freeway. You just have to observe the times. So if it's a two-hour zone, you don't have to feed the meter, but you're still supposed to have the car moved after 2 hours.
And if you look at the map, the density of these sites, you can park and walk, especially when you're downtown. You know, it's all much of it within really close proximity.
Right. Michelle writes, I was born in 1961. My grandfather, who we called Pum Pum, worked for Allen Bradley. He told us that his job at Allen Bradley was to wind the clock each day, and to this day we refer to the clock as Pum Pum's clock.
That'd be a big key.
It would be. Tell me both, because obviously you have a great fondness and deep, deep interest in this city. What generated that? A lot of people go elsewhere, you know, they spend their lives going from place to place. Both of you have built your extraordinary lives here. Why is that, George?
I don't know how extraordinary, but I think that, you know, it's for a variety of reasons. My friends and family lives in Milwaukee, and I always joke to people that one of the nice things about living where your family is, you don't have to go visit them when you go on vacation.
I think in my case, you know, I grew up in the South Side, then out in the Southwest suburbs, and for me, heritage was always part of my family's story. And I went away to school, had not even an inkling that I was going to stay away. You know, Milwaukee was always home.
Really?
And I think what has kept me here, what keeps so many people here, is we really do have an unusual blend of large and small here, where it's manageable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to get around.
Mm-hmm.
The social corridors are relatively easy to navigate, and yet we have the diversity, the resources, everything from big league baseball to world class festivals, right here. So just that blend, it's kind of Chicago divided by five without the hassle. So really has a unique kind of a characteristic.
I would like to add that we think that we have made this a family-friendly event, and so we invite families with children to come down. Like I said, we have this little passport program where kids can pick up a passport and have the passports stamped at different places. I think that it's a great event. Last year we saw great demographics in terms of lots of varieties of people who ordinarily don't come to these things decided to give this a shot, and I think they really enjoyed themselves.
And it also gives downtown Milwaukee a shot. This is a lovely city, and I know some people don't come to downtown Milwaukee for whatever reason. There's just so much here, and it's nice to appreciate it for the first time or for the, you know, 1800th time.
One of the, you can imagine like kids, like kid coming in and saying, I rode the Zamboni at the Bradley Center, you know? Or I rang City Hall's bell, you know. These are big treats to children,
right.
So they like that a lot.
I helped the bridge go up and down.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, there
yes.
you go. That's
bridge houses.
All right, give us details again, how people get this brochure that shows all of the places.
Sure.
Is that where that is available, what time it starts, where it is,
sure.
et cetera.
So if you don't have the event guide yet from last Sunday's Journal Sentinel, you can go to our website at doorsopenmilwaukee.org and take a look at it there. You can also access the website pretty easily, I think, from smartphones and things like that. And then when you come to Milwaukee, you can start at any location, and most of the locations, there still should be some event guides left. So we will have event guides at all the locations. So wherever you start, you should be able to pick one up there.
How many volunteers are making this possible, George?
About 400.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the event's not without cost, so donations are encouraged.
Well, thank you very much for mentioning that. We are a nonprofit, and it's a free event, but it's not free to put on. So.
No, I'm sure it's not. 400 volunteers for this. Doesn't that say something? You had a good idea, George.
Well, thanks, Kathleen. I just stole it from others.
Great idea.
But you followed through on it. It made it happen here. And last year we didn't know how it was going to work, and here you are this year, and it's into year number two. And who knows, you may have started something that will go on well past our lifetimes.
I hope so. People are proud of where they live. Let's show it off.
Yep. Yeah,
exactly. Thank you both so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Our guest this hour, George Wagner, Program Manager for Doors Open Milwaukee. Oh, in the library. He was at the Central Library downtown for many years. Give us just a 10-second history of that place. That's a gorgeous building.
1898, beautiful Beaux-Art building. Had been the museum and library originally. Now just the library. Fantastically redone within the last 15 years. People should go there for sure.
Yeah. A great kids' room. Wonderful kids' room.
Yeah, it is a beautiful library. Yep. And John Gerda, historian, author of a number of books, including The Making of Milwaukee. We thank John for his expertise always. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers for producing our program. We'll be with you again tomorrow at 9. And just a reminder that we've started, we haven't done one of these for years and years and years. So on September 26th, we're talking about the first selection in our Back to School Book Club. It's a conversation of Common Sense by Tom Paine, 10 o'clock. Thomas Paine, excuse me, 10 o'clock on September 26th. So I hope you're reading it. We are, and we'll talk about it on September 26th. Great conversations ahead here on the station. And again, we'll be with you tomorrow. Jonathan Kozel, our guest, hour two of the program. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.